Hi, friends. We're talking about spirits, so, like, I started it late, but whatever.
Yeah, we're at the butt end of this conversation, but we're about to get into some fire stuff. I'm Haley, by the way. I've been in a couple. Haley is insane.
It's Lauren.
Anyway.
And I'm Jack with the voice.
With the voice.
With the voice.
So what do you guys believe in? I'm going to hit you with some psychology.
So what you were saying is the consciousness is such a high level of
energy.
Do you
want, like, a pillion?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah, like, do you want to use the get $10 on L'Oreal?
Yeah, so then I can keep it when I go to school and look at it.
Yeah.
In my Spanish class, like, what's hola? Don't know.
Hola? What?
Discounted cash flows.
That's fine.
Okay. Oh, it's pretty...
Why don't you just do that one?
Oh, this is when I was trying to learn finance.
That's fun.
Didn't learn the cap and model. Still don't know it.
So, consciousness is such a high level of energy that people believe it can flow out of your body. That's what we're just talking about.
That is what I was,
and I believe that so much. That's what I think spirits are, is your consciousness floating out of your body. Because everyone has energy.
Did you change your view from last summer, this past summer?
This is the same view.
Okay.
It's your energy, which is your consciousness, comes out of your body. I don't think ghosts are something that you see, like the person. That's your mind making you see the person. Like, the person's not there.
Correct.
Like, you see the ghost.
Correct.
But, like, the spirit of them as the energy of them that is not visible to the human eye is there.
Correct.
That's what I think. And I will say this because I think everyone is connected. Everyone's consciousness is connected. Everyone's spirit. Like, human race, we're connected to each other. There's, like, no way we're not, because we're a bag of chemicals. But, like, we can talk about this stuff, which is wild.
Yeah. So, like, cats... Yeah. They can't talk about this. I still think Boopy's energy will live on.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Boopy.
So, with that said, is that I think people in your life that are, like, really important to you, you have a deeper connection with them.
I agree.
Obviously. Because you feel them, like, you feel their love and stuff. And love is such a powerful thing. You know, that stuff. Like, I'm way more connected to you than someone down the street.
Facts.
But we're all still connected. Because humans.
Because humans. Because consciousness.
Because consciousness. So.
Correct.
Like I'm saying is that when my Pepe passed away, I got the call in the morning that he was in the ICU.
Mm-hmm.
And I got upset about it. And, like, I subconsciously feel like my conscious, you know, my spirit, my energy knew it was bad. You know what
you
I mean?
You did know it was bad.
Because, like, I cried.
You knew it was bad.
And I knew it was bad. And it's like, you know, like, he's had 9 heart attacks in his life. So it's like...
She heard me.
So it's like, how can you, you know, like, he's, like, so strong. He's made it this far. Like,
yeah.
Why is it now that I know this is...
You also have the intuition of a Pisces moon.
This is true.
So, like, someone else might not know.
Yeah. Like, maybe my intuition was super high. But I was, like, very upset. I cried with you that morning. We got breakfast. I felt a little bit better. But I still, like, in the back of my mind was like... My Pepe, like, my mom has to go to the airport. She has to go down to Florida, be with my meme, like, be with him, yada, yada, yada. And that night after work, you all, like, all the work people were going to go out to eat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned you down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, no, I really need to be.
Turned you down.
Well, you invited me and I turned you down because I was like, I need to be with my mom. And I think I knew that that was it. And on my drive home, my Pepe passed away around 8:30, which is when I was driving home from Elam. So he passed away around 8:30, and on the drive home, like, halfway up Cook Hill, I literally felt, like, something leave me.
Yeah.
Like, I had this, like, sadness in me, like, before I even got there. And when I got home, I, like, settled down, my mom was on the couch, and I was just with her, and she got the phone call from Beme at, like, 9:20, and she just said that, like, Pepe died, like... That was it. And I, like, knew. And it was horrible.
It's a very trippy experience.
But it was, like, it was, like, his consciousness, like, a piece of me left because he was so connected to me, you know?
Yeah.
Especially being related. Like, that's definitely a really deep bond.
Yeah.
You know? And then later in, like, a couple of months, when my meme came to come visit us and all this stuff, and then she was here, like, with the family for, like, an entire month. And she was leaving. She was finally going home. And my uncle lives down in Florida with her. So, like, she had someone down in Florida with her even when my Pepe passed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was okay. Like, she was with her, you know, her prince. It's her oldest son. She loves him. And he was down in Florida, and she was finally going to see him after not being down in Florida for a month. And I had school that day, and I remember being, like, studying for my exam, and I just had this weird feeling all day. Like, my mom texted me saying she got on the plane. And I was like, okay, cool. And he's going down to Florida. She'll be home. She'll, like, see my uncle and la, 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 whatever. And we'll see her again for Christmas because she was going to come back for Christmas. She did. She's okay. And Emmy's okay. She's, yeah, she's here right now.
She's chilling.
She's chilling. Anyway. But I had this weird feeling, like, all day that, like, something bad was going to happen. Like the plane was going to crash. Like, you know, like, just crazy, like, ideas. I was like, something's going to happen to Emmy. I don't know what it is. Like, something's going to happen. And my uncle died that day. I came home from my exam, and my mom said that her brother died, and I was like, what? Like, what? And she's like, Uncle Dave died, and I was like, what? And it's just like, I knew without knowing, and I knew, like, that day that something bad was gonna happen without knowing, like, you know? And, like, again, I feel like I felt the leaving of, like, his consciousness from me, which is, like, crazy. So that's what I feel about spirits so far.
Yeah. I mean, I also think your Pisces moon ties heavily into that.
It might be.
Heavily. Because, like, maybe. Pisces, even more than the other water signs, are connected to, like, the, like, psyche and, like, I don't know, like, their,
yeah,
for, like, their surroundings. Like, they feel more emotion than, I am a fish. Than the other water, yeah, signs. Like, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a Scorpio, but, like, it's not,
I get it,
as intense.
Well,
as
you can think about it as, like, out of all the water signs, I am the sign that, like, it's, like, symbol has the most consciousness out of all, out of the three of them, like a crab and a scorpion. And then
I think, like, as a Scorpio
and, like, a fish, which is very broad.
As a Scorpio, I can understand people's emotions, mm-hmm, and I have a lot of emotions, but I don't necessarily feel them, but that's also my moon in Cap.
Yeah.
Whereas, and a Cancer also has a lot of emotions, but they usually struggle with
talking about them,
dealing with them.
Yeah, like, because my brother is, like, a Cancer moon.
I'm like a crab.
My brother is a Cancer moon, so.
So what is this?
What did you make here?
This is classic. This is classic.
Psychophysical
parallelism. So this is dealing with, like, your mind and body problem. Okay. Everyone that took psychology in college learned about this.
Okay, so I didn't learn about this.
Really?
I did not take college.
I took college psych.
You took psychology.
Psych. I did not take college.
I took college psych.
You took psychology in high school.
Yeah, but it was, like, half year psych.
We didn't learn about this.
I had to write the alphabet backwards. It wasn't anything crazy.
Got it.
This was your, like, the analytical one, right?
Yeah.
This is why you learn this. You don't learn this in general psych.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is because it was analytical, and they want you to, they make diagrams that have to do with the mind.
Okay, well,
which
whatever.
Is, like, something you don't.
So, there's three, like, schools of dealing with your mind and body problem, mm-hmm, in psychophysical parallelism, psychophysical interactionism, and then epiphenomenalism.
Which is just, like, episodes, right? Like,
so what is,
so it's
what
three
is this
three different
with?
Ways
your
that you
body?
Can your body and your mind,
so like your
it's
physical being
versus your mind and, like, or your soul.
Okay,
so it's differentiating the two apart.
Okay,
so psychophysical parallelism says that mind events can only cause mind events, so your soul is detached from your body, but it does exist.
I don't
your
feel
body
that.
Your body just causes physical events. So physical events purely cause physical
Can
events.
Can you give me an example?
And they're not connected.
They're not connected. That's right.
Are there examples? Because, but or is this just all theories? Because there couldn't really
be examples. The only real examples is psychophysical interactionism,
I guess,
and epiphenomenalism.
Would this be someone's mind where they're saying, like, oh, like, I'm sad, but, like,
nothing physically hurt me?
Yes. But,
or, like, is that an example?
This is more, this,
like, I stubbed my toe.
Or is this, like, the traditional mind, like a closed off mindset?
That's a closed off mindset.
Okay.
Because okay. It's
where,
just
like your thoughts, emotions.
This is not good for science or beliefs. I mean, this is good for belief systems. Like, your body is your body, but your soul is your soul. Your body can't touch,
like,
your soul, and your,
like,
soul can't.
So that's
touch,
like,
your body.
Saying, like, am I thinking too hard?
Like,
no,
you're
not.
Buried because your body is just meant to be in the ground.
That's right.
And, like,
and
your
soul
is
what is important,
sure,
about you.
Okay.
That could be
that's
taken
not,
a little too far, and I might
not
understand
that.
That's
not
that,
what
but
you think.
That's not what I think.
You think it's connected within your physical
being. there's no
psychophysical way. Interactionism means that body events can cause body events, but body events can also cause mental events.
Okay.
Mental events can cause mental events, but mental events can also cause body events. So this is more your chemicals in your brain are making you think things.
Yeah.
Isn't that fact?
That's a fact. That is fact. That's correct. But can a mental event, something that you can't control, make you do something with your body?
Yes.
Yes. Isn't that also a fact?
That's also a fact.
But what is that? That's the problem. What is that mental event? Is it just chemicals firing in your brain? Because that's the fact.
Or is that physical?
Or is because that's physical. Like physical. Chemicals are physical.
Chemicals are physical.
So that's where you can go back to psychophysical parallelism.
Okay.
And say, is chemicals your body or is chemicals your mind?
Okay, so this is...
The last one, just before we go back. Sure. Epiphenomenalism is only body events cause body events.
Which cause?
Chemicals in your brain that cause mental events.
Okay.
But doesn't work backwards. It only goes boom, boom.
Is this like the traditional science view?
I think
the traditional science, yes, that's good for scientists.
If you have a chemical reaction in your brain, which causes you to
think about something
or eat less or something, like you are depressed, so you eat less.
Yeah.
That's a physical, wait, no, that would be the other way around.
No, it's a chemical thing causing you to be upset. So it's this, that's what that.
I think this is the one that's good for science.
No, because we can't explain that way. It's this. It's a chemical thing that makes you upset.
Yes.
Because, like, depression is in your mind.
Right.
Because of chemicals.
Because of chemicals. And, like, because, you know, bad shit happens to people all the time. And, like, you know, and, like, I don't know, like, you could... Like, there's people that are, like, refugees of countries and stuff. And they have, like, better mindsets than people that are living in, like sky, like... raise like buildings and they're like millionaires and they're depressed, so it's all in your mind because it has nothing to do with what's going on.
Well, it's like your physical body.
Yeah, it's like it's your physical like mind. That's what I mean by that, like it's in your brain, right? Because like why are you really that upset? I know it's like why are you really that upset?
Yeah, I personally think
this person lost their entire home, their entire country. Like
I think it's like the food we eat, but that's another conversation.
That's for something
else. A lot of people don't
know. No, I think I get these are really hard to unpack and to talk about because they're all very different.
But so you learned this in psych.
Yeah
A part of me feels like it's more like because this separates them and this like kind of connects them, but like it doesn't really
this
make sense.
The full connection.
Yeah,
this is
but
the
like isn't the
connection.
Mind the body? I think,
well, you
that's what I think.
Just substitute the word mind for soul.
No, but this is what I think.
Now that
but I think this is the soul is the consciousness.
That's your mind. That's your mind. It's your consciousness. What the things that you think.
I think
that to me that has to be connected to
I
your
think
body.
Your body and your consciousness but, are together and they just work in a way.
So
to
you're
make
a dualist. So you're a dualist.
Yeah, you're to me it's like a they work together to make you a human being.
Correct.
But energy cannot be created or destroyed. So when you die, because things stop working, which is fine, but
your
that
body
energy,
stops working.
Like your body stops working, like your soul stops working, but it's like that energy is still out there. So that you're like your soul isn't working in your body anymore, but they're like still the same thing. They're a working like unit, but it's like when that gets destroyed, it's converted to something else. And that's what I think, that I don't think it's parallel like this. It's I think they're together. They have to be together because that's how they work to be
human. Yeah, so that's this.
So
yeah, but it's not like, but this is the thing, it's like the mind events cause physical things. What's a mind thing? It's like, no, I don't think that they're
no the things that, so what you're saying,
but like you said to me that argument saying that chemicals in your brain technically are a physical thing, and that's where that argument gets kind of cut off.
Yes,
I don't think you can compare them like two different things, like mind and body.
Well, I think
I think it's like a working unit, a human. Like this is how we work, and when we die, our energy gets converted. That's just
the issue is that consciousness isn't tangible.
That's a big problem.
That's why this can't be clear cut because it's all opinions
and
what I feel. That's why whenever anything is what I feel, it's automatically cannot be an argument. Because
it's all subjective.
It's all subjective.
Yeah. And I think that's like what life is subjective, and you can make things like, you know, like objective, I guess. I don't know, like, you know, but
yeah, but everyone that ever thought that has been classified as an idiot.
Yeah, I know.
Like Titchener. He was a structuralist, and he thought that he could take people's, he could train people to be objective about their subjective feelings. So how are you feeling right now? Put it on a scale of 1 to 10. Like, but where is that scale for you? That could be different for someone else.
It's like pain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, are you a smiley face?
But that's also like kind of why we're in this like weird political state, not to bring it to politics, but
everything's, it's a lot of
people
are
bringing their feelings into politics, which is like, you can't do that because people's feelings
are all different.
Because they're not tangible.
As long as like basic, like the human, like basic human rights are not taken away from people.
Correct.
That's the only, like, that's it. That's all you have to worry about.
Yeah.
Because everything else is all just,
like,
you being like, that makes me sad. Like, you shouldn't be able to say, like, shit on TV anymore because it, like, makes me upset. I'd be like, that's the only
just don't
thing
watch
you
it.
Can say. So, like, why don't we relax?
But the only thing I want to say about this is, like, when people try to say that, like, energies are not real.
Yeah.
Then when you go into a room and there's people fighting and you can feel the tension.
Yeah.
That is a prime example of the energy in the room.
Because talking right now is bringing out energy into the room from our bodies. Which is another thing why I think it's like the mind and the body are like, they're one thing. Which is why this like structure thing doesn't really work. And it's really hard to explain to someone who isn't on the same page as me.
Oops.
Oops.
Is it SQ?
That's really interesting.
Okay, so there's, I did a presentation on spiritual intelligence, mm-hmm. actually, which is exactly what we're talking about mm-hmm. now. There is the physical quotient, intelligence quotient, emotional quotient, spiritual quotient. All of these things are essentially scaled. Physical quotient is, like, your body and the way that you interact with. So, mm-hmm. like, if you're, like, on the spectrum, you can never get past here. When you are... have a high PQ, IQ, EQ, SQ is when you become the most successful, and we're essentially here because we're talking about spiritual quotient. But just like emotional intelligence is measured, so is spiritual intelligence.
And we talked about this in Psych 2, which is like the layers of development and stuff like that, and how like very few people make it to the final layer,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially probably what you're talking about, which is like being able
it's
being able to talk objectively about things and mm-hmm. like not... making it about you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, people have a really tough time talking about things and not making it about them. Like, talking about your
experiences
to connect. Because
usually if you're not emotional about something, then you don't really care about it.
Yeah. But it's like using...
you just become bored.
Using mm-hmm. your experiences to connect to something we were talking about is, like, one thing. But being like, I've never felt that way is another thing. Like, that's your emotions. Like, being like, oh, I've never felt that way, so I don't really believe it. That's, like, you're in the emotional part or whatever, because you're only thinking about you. Whereas, like, this is, like, now you're, like, well, I mean, spirits.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of...
I don't know.
There's a lot of people that either, A, don't understand spirituality,
yeah.
B, are spiritual to a degree because they think that they have to, but they actually don't understand what spirituality is.
Or so concrete in a type of spirituality, like religion, that they don't branch off.
That they actually aren't even spiritual.
Yeah.
Because they're just doing what they're
told. Which
but
is
in their
very
own brain, they're not reaching any higher level.
Yeah. Which is all Buddha wants, is for you to reach a high level. That's why there's no God.
Like, I did this presentation in my group, right? And we talked about all different forms of spirituality, all different ways people
mm-hmm.
Are spiritual and how they practice it. And a lot of it's meditation.
Oh,
most of
it
is meditation.
You know what's so cool?
Wait.
Okay, yeah.
So we finished a presentation, and my professor, literally the coolest guy ever,
mm-hmm.
literally so dope, definitely a Pisces, love him, so dope. He made me vegetarian, like, this guy's sick.
Wow, I thought I did, but okay.
No, well, the reason why I started was because, like, health, and that's what the approach he did, whatever. We did a Q&A, and he asked each one of us what we got from it, and I just said it was super cool to be able to talk about, like, to have someone mention astrology in a classroom, and no one, like, freak out and say that it's the dumbest shit ever. And then this kid, who is annoying to begin with, like, sorry if you're listening to this, you're annoying.
Yeah.
He's not gonna listen to this. He, like, said, like, some shit about astrology, but then he started saying that he hates when, like, people are so, like, adamant about, like, what they believe in and, like, shut everyone down. Meanwhile, he was literally shutting down, like, everything that I had just said.
Yeah.
Because he was being so close-minded about what we had talked about.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't think everyone needs to be spiritual. I'm like, yes, you do.
Like, you should be, because
you
then
need to.
You're, like, an asshole.
If you aren't connected to something,
yeah.
like, whether it's I believe that I'm gonna go on the ground and mm-hmm. nothing's gonna happen to me, it doesn't matter. If you don't have a belief system, you're going to be depressed because you need like some sort of
to think about.
You need something to keep you going.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, that's like, and the kid, I read his chart, and like, people were like, oh, like, why would astrology exist? And I was like, all right, I understand bashing certain religions.
At least I can see it.
It's like, it's not even like bashing religions. I understand like shutting them down because you learned about them. Like, you know about Christianity. Like, who doesn't?
Right. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't, like, who are you?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, we live in like America. Like, you know about it. Like, it's in our Pledge of Allegiance.
It's been around for so long. Yeah. How did you not?
And that's the thing.
So is astrology.
But that's the thing, is that I'm like, you can't bash something unless you know about it. Like, you have no information about it. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Therefore, how can you say it's stupid?
Yeah, like, you don't even know
You
what
didn't
I'm
even
saying.
Give it the light of day.
Yeah, it's like that kid. That kid at Monica's yeah. party, he literally was like, that's the dumbest shit ever. And I was like, excuse me? You can't even comprehend what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I was literally talking about aspects. Like, you don't even know what that is.
Like, you don't even know what it is, so
it's a literal degree in the sky. Like, it's real. Like, what do you mean?
Like, get so mad. Now, what I was saying about the spirituality thing, what I think is so crazy is that, did you read Siddhartha in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I read Siddhartha. And my teacher was just like, she's like, I know now it just seems like a book that's like a little confusing to all of you and stuff. And she was like, I really think you should read it in college.
T.
And like, she's talking about the SQ.
Oh.
You know, like, you need to be attached to your spirituality.
Facts.
And Siddhartha is obviously about Buddha
mm-hmm.
and like his journey to becoming enlightened and all that stuff. And like, Buddhism is so sick. It's like the fucking amazing. Like, how, if the, just like, if you ever read any of like his work, I don't know if you read any of his work, but like how simple it is, like drawn out, how simple it is. It's so like, you're like, yeah, that makes so much sense. Why don't we all live like this? And like, people don't, because they don't, like, you're not, they're not there with the SQ. And she's like, you should read Siddhartha again to everybody. And I was like, you know what? I fucking will. Cause like, I want to now. Now I'm thinking about it. Like, I want to read it right now because
maybe,
like,
is it long?
It's not that long.
Maybe I'll read it. I feel like my mom read it.
And it's like the river and stuff. And you know what? I went for a walk with my mom the other day. We were walking like beside a river and it was like so quiet because no one was there.
The water.
And it was like such a, like a crisp day, but not too cold. And like it just rained the other day. So like the river was really flowing, you know, like it was like heavy flowing. And
heavy flow.
It was a heavy flow for the Quinnipiac River. And it was just like, it was so fast. And like, all you heard was the river. And what are you guys doing?
We're listening.
Okay.
We're having fun.
Well,
Zook.
Zook.
I wrote Boopy to the heart.
Oh, cute. And like, all we heard was the river. And I thought of Siddhartha because what it was like about. Is that like, you need to like, it was just like,
they're,
I don't know.
Drawing me.
I don't know, because I need to read it again. But like, the river is a really important part of the book. And like, I'm sure if I read it again now, I'm gonna think other things than I did in high school. But like, I don't know. It was just a really good book. You finished it for you.
Yeah, you can't win. With what is this called?
Tic-tac-toe.
Oh my god!
You can't win tic-tac-toe.
I have now ended my conversation about Siddhartha.
Because it's like, you were too smart.
Just one.
Any other thoughts on spirituality? Or are we just playing tic-tac-toe?
Well, hold on. Let me just finish this and I'll get back in.
All right. She's going to get back in it once she learns.
You didn't win.
Yeah, you did. I'm an idiot.
Wow, I guess if you're over the age of 10, you can effectively win tic-tac-toe, and I didn't know that because I'm an imbecile. My IQ is -2. Sorry.
Sorry. We were just talking about intelligence, and you're like, I am now dumb.
Like, my spiritual intelligence. Like,
no, you just
but
weren't
my
aware.
IQ...
What? You weren't aware of what was going on.
No, I truly believe that it's just impossible if you're over the age of 10 to win because,
no,
like, you're just
smart.
No, that's
a trap, and you weren't aware of the trap.
Well, I never learned the trap. You know what the game I
love
is dots. Because
you did this first, right?
Yes.
It's a trap. It's a trap. And if you could set it up wherever you go. So that's why it's so hard to not know.
So what do you think?
I don't know.
You're still figuring it out?
Yeah.
You should read Siddhartha.
I did.
Because I know that, like...
You should read Siddhartha.
Oh, I know that, like, you don't...
necessarily are like really into the astrology thing. You like put up with what we say. Like, I'm sure like some of it
makes sense.
Some of it makes sense to you and you've like taken things to it, but normally if you haven't come across it yourself, it's not your belief system. Like, we kind of like dove in and like researched for ourselves, mm-hmm. so like we're connected to it more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is
normally you put in the time.
Honestly, normally how that works.
If you read your houses yourself, you'll be like,
oh,
that's it.
You want to hear some truth to astrology? This one's crazy. You know what I'm gonna say. Eighth house is represented as death. It represents a lot of things, but death is one of them. Saturn is the planet.
Maybe explain like what a house is and stuff like that, because I don't really know if he knows what that is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now this is astrology.
Do you want me to do this?
No, go for it. Yeah. Okay.
Because where's Ryan Bradley? He wants to be involved.
Oh, we should call them.
I never do this perfectly.
And that's not a perfect circle.
No, and it's never going to be 12 equal parts.
Yeah.
The last time I did it I did like an astrology lesson with Casey and Devin. They were like, that's not equal. Like, I was like, how many lines do I have to do? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You don't need all 12. Okay. Ugh, do I really need to do all 12?
No, just do.
Okay, so this is the zodiac wheel.
I already know where you messed up with the whole 12.
It's fine. It's fine.
So there's 12 zodiacs. So essentially there would be 12 pie shapes. The zodiac wheel goes in a circle beginning with, actually this would be one, like Aries would be here, and then 2, 3, and then 4, 5.
On and on.
Until 12, yeah.
So it's a 360-degree circle. The easiest way to understand astrology is that each zodiac takes up 30 degrees of the circle. So then they're pie shapes. Those pie shapes are called houses.
Okay.
Now, in the sky, we read astrology that the first house at the same point. It's always here. It's just easier to read. The signs move because throughout the time, the planets like move through them. So like we display the chart and like the Aries.
And that's why planets can be in different signs and stuff.
I apologize for being mean about it, but just one of you talk, please.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's confusing. Pick one of you to explain this.
Okay.
So only one of you talk.
The first house is always here because it's easiest to read. But the traditional, so if there was the perfect birth chart, it would start with Aries. First house would be Aries. Second house would be Taurus. And it would just go through because the zodiac calendar begins with Aries, which is like what?
April.
The end of April.
Oh, so okay. Not end of March, beginning of April.
Correct. End of March, beginning of April. It's not set up like our calendar because this dates our calendar way before it.
Yeah.
Now the reason why most people know you're a Virgo because the sun moves through each sign approximately each month, just like we recognize every month changes. That's why most people know their
sun.
Greek
calendar, isn't it?
I don't know.
I thought it was.
Does that make sense? Yeah. That's why you know Virgo.
It's like the solstice is on like the changing dates.
It is?
Yeah, like the 21st of December.
So did they create astrology? They might have created astrology.
Yes, they did.
Probably. Okay.
If they're gods.
Oh. I didn't even know those. Okay. So each sign traditionally is assigned to a house. So the first house is with Aries. It's the first sign. So that's like its home, if that makes sense. So Aries energy kind of rules the first house now. Each sign has its own.
So the eighth house is ruled by who?
Scorpio.
So now what are you about to tell me about that?
So each house represents a portion of life.
Got it.
So the eighth house, let's say, is over here.
Is it ruled by Scorpio?
Yes. That's the eighth sign.
All right, come on.
Oh.
So it rules death. I literally just spelled Scorpio wrong. Rules death. Anyway, Saturn, planet. Each planet represents something. Saturn represents hardships, karma, stuff like that. So usually, like they say, most of the time where Saturn is, you're going to have conflict or struggle. My Saturn is in my eighth house. Eighth house represents death. Mm-hmm. What do I have problems with? Death. It also said, I looked it up last night because I was like, what the fuck? Like, what does Saturn in the eighth house mean? And it basically said, like, you can literally just ignore death. You can block out, like, sexual activity when you're going through hardships. You can block out emotional relationships when you're going through hardship. Like, all the things that Scorpio represents, because Saturn's there, I can literally just cut it off whenever I want. That's crazy. And it says that I'm most likely going to, like, have a lot of people die around me, like, as I get older, and just, like, not be able to, like, comprehend it. Because, like, I blocked it out and, like, the understanding of it. So, like, when someone is, like, that's the easiest way to understand astrology is you take the planet. What does the planet mean? You put it in the sign that it's in. So, mine was Aries. So, like, Saturn and Aries represent stuff. So, you would take planet, moon. This is the easiest way to do it. The moon represents your... So, yours is Taurus. I don't know what house it's in. But let's say, like, your moon is here. Represents emotions. Now, you take the energy of Taurus, apply it to the moon. So, now the way you think and feel is the way of Taurus qualities. And then, once you figure out what the house is, that's how it affects your life. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That's how astrology works, with the birth chart. And then, as it gets a little deeper, let's say your sun's here, your Venus is here. This makes a trine due to the angles. This is called an aspect in your natal chart. This also will affect, because this is a positive thing, because all these things can see each other. When something's like over here and something's like over here, they can't see each other. They can see partly, but not fully. So that's like called a negative aspect, and that can affect you differently. So then when you do synastry, which is comparing another person's chart, you can take those aspects and see like where those energies can see your energies and see if it's gonna work right. You also have the horoscope. This is where the horoscope comes in. You take the chart of what's going on right now in the sky, compare it to yours, you can see where the energies can't see each other. That's when things start to get affected. Does that make sense? It's very, very, very complicated, but that's where the true astrology lies, is within those aspects. Does that make sense?
And then some kid in the back of the room is like, dumbasses. Fucking losers.
But does that make more sense now? Yeah, like, does. That's how astrology works, not just like, oh, well, your horoscope. Like, and most horoscopes are run by your houses, so you should be reading your ascendant. Because your ascendant is your first house, which sets your chart.
You're talking about 8th house, and I just read mine.
Is it T?
So much cheese. My 8th house is in Leo.
Love that.
And it literally was just like, there is almost always something off with their perception of success. It's me so much.
I don't know if that's true.
That's so me.
Why?
Because I don't think I'm doing well.
Oh.
At all. Ever. I don't ever feel like I did good. And people are like, what are you talking about? You're doing great.
But also, like, no, your cat. Not.
It's just, like, that's so tea. Funny. And it's, like...
Really? 8th house in Leo?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I have to build what's your my rising level sign, Scorpio? For others.
Yours is Scorpio. Correct? That's correct, Haley?
Huh?
His is rising sign Scorpio?
Yes. Wow, this is really funny. So apparently for me to feel successful and strong, I have to build a level of respect for
it's
others.
After Taurus.
And for others and myself. Like, to really high heights. Like, I have to respect people so much. And then they said the challenge here lies with the ability to respect those who aren't deep, practical, and responsible, as I think is suitable. Which is really funny. Because, like, I can't stand people who feel like think a certain way, and you know what I'm talking about, and I'm not gonna talk about it, but like, you know what I'm talking about, and I like can't handle it, and like, it's really funny.
Can you read 8th house in Gemini? I believe that's Jax. That's based on if each house is
8th house in what?
I think it's Gemini. I'm checking his chart because that's just how I counted from like the first house, but if it's yes, 8th house is Gemini. Wow, I'm like, so, I'm like an astrologer.
Changes over.
Wait, this is about you. Do you want
one mental clean?
This is your 8th house is in Gemini.
With the 8th house in Gemini, changes always move through one's mental plane and superficial approach to almost impossible to accept. It's almost impossible to accept. So you don't approach things superficially. So I guess you're deep. This is a typical position for those born with their ascendant in Scorpio.
It is the position. What do you mean?
And it probably is like there's probably some difference and stuff for some people who have different rising signs. You know, things.
No, but it is like if it's your rising sign's 1,
yeah,
you would count to 8. It's just
I know, but like whatever.
It is.
All right.
T.
And we will see that they have real trouble accepting anything carefree that lacks depth and deep instinct in its core. Individuals with their 8th house in Gemini will steer clear of small talk, often not realizing how necessary and helpful it can be. Dismal of brotherly love or love with a sibling is almost always present. So it needs to be found in their heart to and accepted to be better or worse. Changes in life will be strangely casual when they are big and usually approached to with ease and vigor. Changes in life will be strangely casual.
Like you, moving in. Big.
Oh, strangely casual.
That's huge thing that usually happens with relationships.
Usually approached with ease and vigor. Okay, this is the position that allows love of change, and these dreamers will search for happiness in strangest of places.
And he also just, like, kind of said that he gave you a promise ring. Just, like, if you guys ever get engaged, you'll be like, yeah, like,
we're engaged.
No, but, like, not, you wouldn't even say that. It would just be like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, cash.
Can you read 8th House in Aries? I'm ready to die.
Okay.
Kidding, no, I'm not. Does that resonate with you?
In Aries, the main change...
That's right.
The main challenge of life is to accept the constructive force of anger and conflict. If Mars isn't extremely well positioned...
In Sag, T. It's a good
position. This speaks of one's tendency to waste their energy on irrelevant issues, which you don't do because you have a strong Mars.
Mm.
Like, it's very, like... No, you have a strong Mars. That's a strong sign. It's very wild, but, you know, strong sign.
It's in a fire sign, so that's fine.
Yeah, I always feel like fire signs, if you have anything in there, like, it's definitely prevalent.
Well, like, Mars is also ruled by a fire sign, mm-hmm. so it's like, if it's in another fire sign, I feel like that's, like, okay. Yeah.
So extreme, it speaks one's tendency to waste energy on irrelevant issues. These seen primarily through challenging aspects of Mars. Change will come pretty much naturally, but with a lot of fire and fuss and never easy. Okay.
Is this tea? Like, what?
Yeah, I don't know. Instinct needs to be nurtured, and most often this is the position of those born with an ascendant in Virgo, which is...
Not me.
That's interesting.
Because my 8th house, I'm pretty sure, is one in CoStar where it was, like, the cusp was, like... Mm-hmm. Wait, let me double check. But I'm fairly certain... Dude, where is CoStar? Oh, it's right here.
Meaning they tend to overthink things and shove their instincts and gut feelings aside.
Wait, me.
The most damaging thing a person can do is to approach life responsibly instead of instinctively. This is also a setting that ascends the fact...
Oh, you know what?
...that all problems with young men full of energy, leadership, police, or army have to be mended and brought to a level of emotional acceptance and understanding.
Interesting. When I thought I was born 2 hours earlier, my rising sign was Virgo. So it makes sense that, like, it was just, like, the... Because CoStar doesn't use, like, those houses that are equal.
Yeah.
So that's why it makes sense that that Aries is 8th house, the way that it fell. Because I was born very close to, like, the line of Virgo ascendant, which I honestly think Virgo ascendant would play into the anxiety that I have.
I don't have an 8th house.
No, you do. It's just you don't have any planets in it.
Yeah.
That's why it's not showing up.
Yeah.
But if your rising sign is Capricorn...
Let's read 3rd house in Aries. Because it's also...
What is that? Saturn.
Draw this without picking up the pen or crossing over a line.
I'm reading 3rd house in Aries because it's in my Saturn.
Wait, draw that without picking up my pen?
Without picking up your pen or crossing over the same line.
I'm not going to be able to do it.
You can do it.
I couldn't
even do... It's a little brain.
I couldn't do tic-tac-toe. Oh, sorry. Oh, I already fucked up. I can't go over the middle line?
You can't go... No, you can go over the middle line. You just can't go over the same line
fucked up.
Yeah, so you stop.
That wasn't that bad.
That wasn't that bad. You got pretty far.
Okay, let me try again.
You're almost there.
Did I already fuck up again?
No. You can't fuck up by just drawing a line.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Guys, this is also tea and me.
I did it. I did it!
How many tries is that?
Two.
The second try.
I'm dumb.
I've actually never seen that before.
I did something like that. I did that.
too.
I'm in the second time. I'm still recording.
My eighth. This is kind of like T. Okay.
Okay, T.
So my third house is in Aries, which is also in my Saturn. Okay.
My Saturn also.
So.
Which is amazing.
I am going to go pack up my stuff.
Okay, can you get my backpack?
Yeah.
And my water bottle. So it says, if the third house starts in the sign of Aries, we see an individual with a fast mind and an aggressive approach to communication.
I'm going up there.
Why? Are you nervous?
Oh, yeah.
Mom's up there.
Yeah, that's fine.
Aww.
I'll wait for you guys.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Okay, an individual with a fast mind and an aggressive approach to communication. This is someone energized and filled with active ideas whose mind never stops working. It is a blessing as much as it can be a curse.
Okay.
For the sign of Aries holds an unsolved or holds our unresolved anger issues just as much as it brings speed, intelligence, and clear reasoning. When this position is accented or whatever, what does that mean?
Accented?
Yeah.
What are you reading right in the third house in Aries? It could mean that there's a personal planet in it.
Oh, so my Saturn.
Well, Saturn isn't a personal planet, but like it could mean like you have an aspect to your personal planet, which you might.
So a person has to learn, this is really funny, so this is the tea with me, because like this sums up my childhood. This is, a person has to learn about consequences of their words. Tea.
That is tea.
As well as words spoken by other people, and build up their patience for matters they obsessively think about. Stubborn communicators, they can be quite annoying when in a large group, at least until they realize what they need to do to become true leaders, giving respect to everyone around them.
That's tea.
That's tea. They always, like, spit fire at me. It's, like, kind of mean, but it's, like, funny.
Dude, they told me that my life was a mess.
It's really funny.
And I also, like, block out death, which I do.
Aww.
I don't believe I'm gonna die. Like, Lucy, never gonna die. Can't even comprehend. Look at her eating. She has four teeth.
She has four teeth.
She's only six. Boopy.
Okay. So let's read my Pisces.
I'm going to post this as soon as we're done, and I'm going to do like the whole Snapchat, like the way, but like listen to us talk. Did you miss it? I'm sure you did. Welcome to Warren's ASMR.
Oh, this is fun.
Go to bed. Are you asleep yet?
Are you asleep
yet? Are you asleep yet? What did I keep saying? Oh, wait, ready?
Pizza.
So
this
fucking
weird.
This
went from, like, so intelligent to, like, ASMR.
I feel like everything I said, though, like, because, like, I spoke a lot before I turned it on, so everything that I contributed to this conversation was idiocy. Is that a word?
Idiocy.
Wait, don't draw that. That's our notes. Sad you guys are leaving.
Aww.
Like when you go to Vernon, like what am I gonna do?
Aww.
I'm emo. Like you've been there, you know. So it's not gonna be that emo when you go back. No offense, because you already live there. But when she leaves, dude.
Emo, full emo.
All right, Haley, do you have any last words?
This was fun. I'm glad I got to share my experiences of spirits with
love.
Y'all. And also my experience of Siddhartha and reading that novel.
I forgot we talked about that.
Highly recommend. Yeah.
Jack, do you want to go?
ASMR.
Wait, Jack, you gotta say bye first.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye. Like, I love you all. Like, thank you for something that's important. Bye.